Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion. Woe to the complacent in Zion. This reading, this prophecy from Amos, this man who was from the southern part of the kingdom, after the tribes had split, he was in the south, but was called to go to the north. But now he's giving a commentary on those in the south. They lie on beds of ivory. They stretch comfortably on their beds. They eat the finest lamb and the calves. They make up their own music. They drink wine from bowls, not just a cup or a chalice, but from bowls. They have so much wine. And they anoint themselves. They're living the good life. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that why we do what we do, why we work as hard as we work and we save the money? Why we go to college and we do all these things to live the good life? Woe to the complacent, because they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile. Because of the comfort level they had achieved, they were not moved by the sufferings of those around them. Woe to the complacent in Zion. The exact same thing that happened in the gospel. The nameless rich man, so comfortable in his kingdom, he was unable, he was complacent, he was indifferent to the man at his gate who was in desperate need. This is the condemnation that Jesus is giving. We know the two great commandments, love God above all and our neighbor as ourself. We love our neighbor as ourself. And if we don't, there are severe consequences in the next life. There is no commentary made on the intention of the heart, of the moral works that they did or didn't do, the two men in the gospel. We don't know how often they went to temple or the synagogue or if they ever went. That was not part of the criteria that Jesus is presenting. He's simply making a commentary on the love of neighbor that's required for each one of us if we want to go to heaven. Because this rich man did not do that, and he was across the great chasm of which it's impossible to cross. Remember, this is the good news. Every time we encounter the gospel, it's the good news. That's what that word means. So how can we hear these words, kind of harsh words, and think, how is this good news? Because the reason that Amos was given that prophecy, the reason that all the prophets were called, the reason why Christ gives this prophetic mission to the church for that voice to cry out even today is to wake us up, even at 7:20 in the morning, to wake us up from the complacency of our lives that leads to indifference, which leads to hell. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you are called. This great admonition of Paul to his friend, to his spiritual son, Timothy. But you, man of God. So if we can think back to our English classes, I mean, they taught us not to start a sentence with the word but we do, we have it here. But that means that there's something that came before it that's in contradiction. So what came before it? What was St. Paul just telling Timothy? If we have food and clothing, We shall be content with that, complacent with that, satisfied with that, with food and clothing. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. Those who want to be rich, he says, easily fall into these temptations, these traps. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people and their desire for it have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains. But you, men of God, don't do that. But you, men and women of God, don't do that. Don't fall into the trap of love of money. The rich man in the gospel, he dressed in purple garments, which was the finest of all things, and wore linen. It says he was dressed in linen, but it's really linen underwear, undergarments. He ate sumptuously every day, probably when most people didn't eat every day. He built up a kingdom for himself, which was closed in on itself. And this is what happens to each one of us, regardless of your level of income or where you live. When you seek the things of this world in and of themselves as though they are good and will bring fulfillment, this is our end. Where St. Paul will say in Philippians that he writes with tears in his eyes even today, for those enemies of the cross, their God is their stomach and they glory in their shame. But you, men of God, don't do that. We are called out of this world to live for the next. We are called to love God above all things so that we can then love our neighbor as ourselves. Clearly, the rich man in the gospel was not doing that. The complacent in the first reading, we're not doing that. We can be so attached to the things of this world that it becomes our main focus to get the next best thing. When we buy things for their glory, for the prominence and the glory that they bring to me because I have the latest, greatest thing, I have this contraption or that device or this or that, I easily, maybe slowly, but easily begin to close in on myself. And my identity now is given to me by the things I have, the places I can travel, the people that I know, versus my identity being founded in the person of Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's a principle called holy indifference. We use things as needed, but we're completely detached from them. We're indifferent to the things of this world. It seems as though the rich man in the gospel and the people in the first reading were indifferent to the people. And this is the great sin. You know, it's been said that we're called to love people and use things, but we have reversed that. We love things and we use people. So the readings today give us a great point of self-reflection. Have I really internalized the truth of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, that this world has nothing for me, that I can walk away from it all today, and as long as I have Jesus Christ, as long as I'm a member of His church, as long as I receive her sacraments, I have everything that I need. Nothing else. Do I believe this? Or am I still striving for the things of this world? Have I fallen into the temptation and into the trap of the love of money? We can ask for that grace this morning. That grace of holy indifference. And regardless of where we are on that schedule of socioeconomic climbing, regardless of what kind of car we drive or where we live, to be wholly indifferent to all things, trusting only in Jesus Christ. So what do? When we go to the corner and the guys are there with their signs and the person's coming down the sidewalk pushing their cart, what do? You have to ask the Lord what to do. Oftentimes, and I put myself in the same boat, there's a worry of how this person will use my money if I give it to them. Maybe they'll use it for drugs or alcohol or something. Does it matter? If your intention is pure? Because do you care what Mr. Disney does with your money? Even though they've come out clearly against Catholic principles, the truth of Jesus Christ, will we still go and give Disney our money? We don't care what he does. When we entertain Hollywood and give them our money, do we care what that person does with our money? Why is it only the person in the corner that we question how they use the money that we give? Are we truly detached from the things of this world? Or are we seeking to build our own kingdom, to get enough to dress in purple linen, purple garments and linen underwear, to dine sumptuously every day as we step over those in most need? The good news of Jesus Christ sets us free from all of that calculus. We use the things of this world so that we can love God and love our neighbor in this life and praise God forever in the next. Amen.